Hello again, dear friends. It's time for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus with your radio pastor evangelist, Robert Venable. We're so glad to be with you today. My name is not that important today, but the name that I come in and the name that I declare is all important today, and that's the mighty, wonderful name of Jesus Christ. So we just pray you'll stay tuned today. We're not here to exalt ourselves, our church, our denomination, organization. We're here today to exalt our Savior and our great King, Jesus Christ. So we want you to know today that God is interested in you, not to be part of our building program or any program that we may have around our church or our vision and outreach. We've got people committed and submitted to that. We're here today, amen, to talk to you because God loves you enough that He would give His only begotten Son, that if you would believe upon Him, you would not perish but have eternal life. We're here because Jesus sent us, commissioned us, commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that includes you today. You've been listening to gospel music today on this wonderful station, WMAF. And now we want you to hear the gospel, the reason for the gospel music. So don't turn that dial. If you don't know Jesus, please be our guest. Please stay tuned. There is no ulterior motive going on here except to tell you the story of His redemptive love. Praise God. And if you're a Christian today, stay tuned because God wants to showcase His children, His people, all of us who know Him as our Savior, and He wants to showcase us to a world that cannot possibly buy, borrow, or steal the peace that we have reigning in our heart. And if it's not reigning in your heart, the enemy of your soul is stealing your peace and taking away your joy. God wants to restore that today, to showcase our lives and make us a constant pageant of triumph. Hallelujah. And cause us to be victors and not victims. Praise God. I tell you, preachers face the same trials as anybody else, only sometimes manyfold. Because if the devil could get us to quit proclaiming the gospel and quit lifting people up and quit instructing in righteousness, then he could begin to do harm to the church of Jesus Christ. But as long as there are men and women that will stand strong and hold up the standard, God will bless through our ministries, our churches, our people, and many, many others. So if you're a minister listening anywhere that you hear this broadcast, we welcome you to please stay tuned. We honor you. We encourage you today in standing and defending the faith and proclaiming the faith of Jesus Christ. Well, let's get into God's Word today. It's an important message, and the title is simply The God of Peace is With Us. If you're a Christian, you know what that means. If you're not, stay tuned and you will know what we're talking about very, very shortly. The Bible, our text for this series of messages is out of Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. And it says, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." I said last week, and I must just quote it again, that of the many descriptive phrases used in the Bible to identify God, one of the most arresting and appealing is the title, the God of peace. Though He's the God of Israel, the Lord of hosts, the God of heaven, the God of all grace, the God of patience, and on, the most endearing title given to our great Creator, Savior God is the God of peace. Because in a fallen world like we live, peace is not something that can be purchased at any price. It is not for sale in any marketplace in all of the universe, but God grants it to those that come to Him through Jesus Christ. One of the great marks of salvation in our life is God's peace ruling and reigning in our life. Praise the Lord. Listen, you say there's promises of peace. I read this book about this New Age book. I've tried out this religious route. I'm going to tell you something. Every other way to pursue peace other than our sins forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ, restoring that fellowship with God, will lead to a disappointing, disillusioning, dead end. It may take a while before we discover that that road that we thought sure would bring us to peace was not a true way to peace. But Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Praise God. Amen. So as we move forward today, talking about the God of peace being with us and the comfort we receive for such troubled times as we live, the peace of God begins with peace with God. I'm going to say that again. The peace of God that we all desperately need begins with peace with God. Romans 5 and verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, friend, Jesus bridged the awful gap between a holy God and fallen man on the cross, on Mount Calvary. He bore our sins. He took our judgment so we could be forgiven. Listen to Ephesians chapter 2, 12 through 16. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Praise God. Having therefore, in verse 15, declares abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, and so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. You know, I love the scripture that says, there, in Christ there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female, rich or poor, but we are one in Jesus Christ. We were strangers from the covenant and the commonwealth of Israel as Gentiles, but we have been grafted in, the scripture declares, to the true vine. And all the blessings that God established with Abraham through the blood of Jesus Christ has come down to you and to me. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm so glad today to know that we can be reconciled unto God through the blood of Jesus. And then it's not a covenant that is unique to the Jewish people, but to anyone who will come to Christ as their Savior. This great blood covenant of the New Testament, the New Covenant, this blood covenant established through Jesus Christ has opened the door for every nation, kindred, and tongue to be saved. And not only to be saved, but to be kept by the power of God unto the day of salvation of the body. And to be brought in to the all the blessings that go all the way back to that ancient covenant with Abraham. What peace I have in knowing that the God that stood with ancient Israel, no matter what the circumstance, stands with me, no matter what the circumstance. God sent angels to deliver them, and friend, God will send angels to deliver us. God moved and worked miracles to deliver them and defend them, and God will work miracles to deliver and defend us. Amen. God worked in a supernatural way to provide for them. And, friend of mine, God is still working in supernatural ways to provide for you and for me. I like one translator's paraphrase. Listen to it. In those days you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from God's people, Israel. You did not know the promises of God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you belong to Christ Jesus. Though you were far away from God, now you have been brought near to Him because of the blood of Christ. For Christ Himself has made peace between us Jews and you Gentiles by making us all one people. He's broken down the wall of hostility that used to separate us. By His death, He ended the whole system of Jewish law that excluded the Gentiles. His purpose was to make peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in Himself one new person from the two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of His death, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. I'm going to tell you, if you are a Jew from the lineage of Abraham and your roots go back to Jerusalem and the ancient Holy Land, no matter how long you've lived here in America, I'm telling you the Christian community embraces you today. Amen. Because that middle wall of partition has been broken down. By the grace of God, the gospel was to the Jew first and always will be, and then to the Gentile nations. God wants everybody saved, friend. There are no exclusions. There are no exceptions. Christ has made us one with Himself and one with the covenant people. We too can claim the blessings of God with us, and therefore we can claim the God of peace is with us. Having God with us because we have peace with God is the master key to finding peace in troubled times. In the time of Hezekiah, Jerusalem was under siege, surrounded by a fierce army. No problem, because God is with them. That's what makes the difference, knowing that God is with you and God is for you. Listen to what it said in 2 Chronicles 32:6-8. This, and he, Hezekiah, set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably unto them, saying, be strong and courageous, be not afraid or dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. Now I want you to know they were hopelessly outnumbered numerically. But when he said there's more with us, he's talking about the fact that the God of peace is with them. And because God Almighty is with them, the covenant-keeping God of Israel, he said, we don't have anything to fear. They're hopelessly outnumbered because God and us equal the majority. I want you to remember that you and God hooked up together constitute a majority. It doesn't matter how many are arrayed against us today. God tips that balance in our favor. Listen to what he said in verse 8. With him, this evil king that comes up to conquer with this great army is nothing but the king and the army. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. Oh, hallelujah! What a privilege it is to know that when God takes up the fight, the battle is no longer ours. The battle is the Lord's. Ah, a commercial used to say, oh, what a relief it is. Well, I don't know about the medication they were hawking and selling. Probably pretty good stuff, but I'm telling you right now, when spiritually speaking, when the pressure is on to acknowledge and appropriate faith in the presence of God with us, ah, what a relief it is to know the battle is not mine. The battle is not truly yours. Amen. The battle is the Lord's because He's with us. And the Bible said, and the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. You know why they were able to find such consolation and peace in those words? Because they knew throughout the history of Israel, having God with you meant that God was for you. And if God be for us, the scripture said in the New Testament, who can be against us? This word rested is a wonderful word in the actual Hebrew. It means to lean. It means to lay upon. It means simply to rest. The king spoke the truth about God's presence with them. No matter what the trouble or how overwhelming the circumstances, their peace was found in the fact that the God of power and the God of peace was with them. I want to read you something, because you may feel today that you're in a circumstance that God can't handle by His presence. And I want you to know that that is absolutely not true. All God has to do today is come on the scene. Praise God. It doesn't matter. You know, the Bible said the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. And nothing is impossible with God. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament it said, "Ah, Lord God." Jeremiah spoke these words, "Ah, Lord God, thou hast made heaven and earth with thine outstretched hand, and there is nothing too hard for thee." Friend, the God that created the universe, the God who flung the stars in space, when that God, amen, takes up the fight for you, in your behalf, in your life, because Jesus Christ has died on the cross so that He could forgive us our sins, and so the enmity between us and Him could be broken down, so God could come to us and He could move in our behalf. Oh, what a gospel that we are preaching and teaching. People that have discovered the presence of God in their trouble have found that peace comes in circumstances that there is no way you could discount or discredit their testimony about God showing up when they called upon the name of Jesus Christ. Listen to this. This is a true story. It happened some years ago and many people have forgot about it. I want to bring it to your attention today, especially you right now listening to this broadcast, Christian or not, that is in a situation that you feel there is no way out. Did you know a staggering statistic has come to light that many people in their middle age are committing suicide, coming to an end of all hope without God and without hope in this fallen world? God wants you to have hope. God has no hopeless cases. You are not too far gone. You have not slipped too deep that God's great hand of love and power can't reach you. Praise the Lord. Let me read this to you as it was stated. On a Sunday afternoon, June the 1st, 1975, Darrell Dore, D-O-R-E, was on an oil rig in the Gulf of Mexico. Suddenly it wobbled and tipped to one side and crashed into the sea. Darrell was trapped inside a room on the rig. As the rig sank deeper and deeper into the sea, the lights went out, the room began to fill with water. Thrashing about in the total darkness, Darrell accidentally found a huge air part bubble that was forming in the middle of the room. He thrust his head inside it. Then a horrifying thought sent a shiver through his spine. "I am buried alive beneath the sea." Darrell began to pray. Tell me about it. Amen. If you listen, folks, there are times in our life we just can't do without God. It's not just a crutch, a panacea for our weakness and our problems and inability to cope. Listen, if this religion that involves a relationship with God through Christ, this true religion, this religion that's not man's ritual and not a man-made God, but this true living God is real. Praise God, when we pray to Him, mighty things can happen. When we believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Darrell began to pray out loud, and as he did, something remarkable happened, he said later. And this is what I wanted to quote to you today. He said, I found myself actually talking to someone. Jesus was there with me. There was no illumination, nothing physical, but I sensed Him, a comforting presence. He was real, and He was there. For the next 22 hours, that presence continued to comfort Darrell. But now the oxygen supply inside the bubble was giving out. Death was inevitable, and it was soon. It was just a matter of time. Then a remarkable thing happened. Darrell saw a tiny strand of light shimmering in the pitch-black water. Was it real? After 22 hours and oxygen beginning to affect him, lack of oxygen, was he beginning to hallucinate? Darrell squinted his eyes. The light seemed to grow brighter. He squinted again. He wasn't hallucinating. The light was real. It was coming from a diver's helmet. Someone had found him. His 22-hour nightmare was over. Rescue had come. And Darrell was saved and lived to tell the story. That true story is a remarkable illustration of what Christians can expect in the time of our problems and trouble and tumult and terror. We can call upon the name of the Lord. Oh, friend, getting right with God, reconciled to God, will allow our God to hear and answer our prayers, to come to us when we need Him the most, and just His presence with us. You know, if Darrell hadn't come out of there, he would have had the peace in his heart to go out of this world into that world and not be alone, not be without God. That's the most terrifying thing that I can imagine, is to come down to the day that I'm dying and have that aloneness and that uncertainty and face a certain eternity without God and a certain judgment to come and a certain punishment and banishment from His presence. Oh, there's no sin. There's nothing that this world can dangle before anyone that clearly understands the value of the soul's salvation. And until that we would take, the enemy is out of business when we understand that there is nothing in this world worth more than the peace of knowing that God is with us here and throughout all eternity. He's going to be here with us in this old fallen world, and we're going to be there with Him when we leave this world. Praise God. It's a win-win no matter what happens. Into our darkened, hopeless, fallen world, where death imposed its absolute authority and terror, our Savior has come to us. Glory, hallelujah. Christ has come to us. And people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Soon after His humble but glorious birth, the joy of this miracle child would be overshadowed by the ominous shadow of the cross. Let me tell you something today. Jesus didn't come to get married, have a family, preach great messages, fill a library with His books. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And in order to save us, He had to sacrifice Himself on the cross at Golgotha, at the hill of the skull, Mount Calvary. Jesus hung for 6 hours after being beaten like no man has ever been beaten, literally strengthened by angels that He might sustain, be alive, not pass out, swoon or die during the punishment, but that He feel every pang and every pain until death released His spirit. 6 hours He hung in agony on that cross, and it wasn't nails that held Him there. It wasn't the Roman government official power backed up by the mighty armies of Rome. It wasn't the Sanhedrin court. It wasn't the high priest. It was not Pilate's authority as governor over conquered Jerusalem. It was my sin And it was your sin that nailed him to that cross. And it was his great love for us as sinners, not wanting that any should perish. That love held him to the cross. He who could command all the... You know, we call him the God of peace here. He's also called the Lord of hosts. And that simply means he is the commander in chief of all of heaven's armies. Jesus Christ is the commander in chief of heaven's armies. And yet he who could have called thousands upon thousands of angels to deliver him and destroy those who treated him so, as a lamb dumb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. Why did he do that? John 3:16 is such a simple scripture, but it is the greatest truth in one verse that there is in all of the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that includes you, sir, you, ma'am, listening to this broadcast today, whosoever could have eternal life. Whosoever would call upon him would have eternal life. Listen, for God so loved you today that he gave his only begotten Son. Listen, that is why Jesus stayed on that cross. The Bible literally said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross while despising the shame. Oh, friend, God loves you so very, very much today. Amen. He wants you to know him, if you don't, as your personal Lord and Savior. He's paid the greatest sacrifice that could ever be paid in order to save you and to save me. What a wonderful, powerful Savior he is. Is the God of peace with you? Then trust in his faithfulness and rest in him. Is the God of peace with you? Claim his promise and rest. Is the God of peace with you? Surrender your life to his eternal purpose and rest. Is the God of peace with you? Declare that no weapon formed against you will prosper. Claim your victory and rest. Is the God of peace with you? Cast your care upon him and rest. Is the God of peace with you? Commit everything to him in prayer and rest. Praise God. If the God of peace is with you, you have nothing to fear, no matter what the circumstance, as long as the God of peace is with you. You're going to make it through. God is going to make a way. God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. He sent his Son to be our sin offering. He sent his Son to be our Savior. And friend of mine, there's no one like him in all of the world. If you don't know him today, you're without God and without hope in this present fallen world. You can't afford to live your life that way. When you draw your last breath, you face eternal banishment and eternal punishment. God does not will that for you. He loves you. He sent his Son. The Son hung on the cross to save you. Would you bow your head right now? Bow your heart. Say, Jesus Christ, I want you as my Savior. I confess my sin. I repent. I don't want to live alone. I want you with me. And when I die, I want to be with you forever and forever. And Christian, today, cast your care upon the Lord. Cast your burden upon the Lord. Trust in him. He'll sustain you through your troubles. There's nowhere you can go that he can't come to you and comfort you. Oh, thank God. The God of peace is with us. Well, we love you today. Would you come back next week? Right here on WMAF, same time, same day. Let's talk about Jesus.
Your love shining like the sun, pouring like the rain, raging like the storm, refreshing me again. Every